take your Bibles and go to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation? And tonight we're starting a new study, new insight, and I like Brother Bernie's question. Are you going to teach it the way you've always taught it? And I said, no, I'm going to teach it a different way. And broken it down differently. Tonight we're going to go over an overview of the book of Revelation, and I hope it stirs you to read it for yourself, and I'll tell you why I think that's important here in just a second. If you read the title here, and it says in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. When you think about the book of Revelation, I know a lot of people have, you know, ooh, it's the spooky book. There is no book in the New Testament that is more misunderstood unnecessarily than the book of Revelation. It's also one of the most hated books of the Bible. And so, you know, when I'll ask people, you know, sometimes I'll hear a Christian say, you know, I'll say, boy, isn't Revelation wonderful? Oh, I don't read that book because it's so scary. I hope we settle that. It should not be a scary book. And I'll show you this here. Let me give you an overview tonight. First of all, Revelation 1:9 says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the Isle of Patmos, that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, John was pastoring after James gets killed in Jerusalem. Then when Paul got his head cut off, and Peter was crucified under the 65. He went from Jerusalem to Ephesus. He pastored there. Then Nero passes the scenes and Domitian comes on and another persecution. Now many think he's in his 90s. He was the youngest of the apostles. Some think he was 19 years old when he was following the Lord, when he started following the Lord. He was the youngest of all the apostles. Nobody knows that, but it's a speculation. It is now where he has been boiled alive in oil and survived it. Then he is sent to an isle called Patmos, where you see the seven churches of Revelation here, okay, in Asia, Ephesus, and then, you know, as the mail route would work its way through. It was an island off here that the Roman government sent prisoners to. Well, this old man they know is no threat to anybody. So he is sent to what they call a penal or a prison island and left there to die. He did not die on Patmos. Legend says he went back to Ephesus. But while he's on Patmos for several years, God gives him the revelation of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the last book of the Bible. Interesting, John was used of God to pen five books of the Bible. The Gospel John, then 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. Okay? Only Paul wrote more books, was used of God to pen more books. So this is a holy man. I think they're all holy. They're all good. But here's the island. If you looked at it, overview, the cave is like right there at the about this section of the island, and if you were looking at it, overview, and most of us think cave in the earth, you go down in the earth, there were a lot of rocks on Patmos that were raised up above that had holes in it, which is what the cave you're about to see, where is supposed to be the place where God gave him the revelation. So it's not in the ground, but there's much as there in rocks above the ground. So when you think of Patmos, it's an island, and there's the Catholic touch, you know. This is, you see the cave stones here, and then they put block, and obviously the Catholicism and stuff. Isn't it amazing, you know, somebody, if you walked into the place, they'd be like, this is the very place where God gave John the revelation. And they won't read the book of Revelation, but the place is more important than the book. That's called mysticism. Where you would, you know, rather have an experience or a feeling versus the value of the Bible. And so, but I understand the place here. Here's another view. see the cave here, and of course, this is the opening of the cave here, coming in this way, and just so you can kind of picture it in your mind a little bit. So he's on the island called Patmos, and God gives him the revelation of Jesus Christ. In an overview, to view what Revelation covers, there's the cross. It's going to cover chapter 1, and then chapters 2 and 3, and then 4. And as you look at it, this is a hell. That's why I think in your Bible, chapter 4 ought to be marked rapture. If it's marked rapture, then that keeps you from this garbage of the mid-trib garbage and pre-wrath that's out there. You know, for the people that are YouTube-trained and internet garbage. Poison. Something else you need to know is the tribulation period. Keep in mind, chapter 4 to chapter 19 is going, really it's chapter 6, but the rapture is chapter 4. 16 chapters. 16 chapters out of 22 deal with a 7-year period that's called Daniel's 70th week in Daniel 9 and Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble. This is for Israel. Okay? This isn't for us. We're watching things ramp up. We're right here. We're watching things get bad, but we're not going through it, and we'll look at that later. When you divide the book of Revelation, verse 19 is called the outline verse, and they say, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So most preachers and writers would divide the book into three sections with verse 19. In chapter 1, he sees the Lord Jesus. Then, that's the, write the things which you've seen in chapter 1. Then it says, the things which are. And that's going to be from chapters 2 to 3, the seven churches. Then, the things which shall be hereafter, which would be from chapter 4 all the way to the end of the book. Most will divide the book this way, and that's not a bad way. I think that's great. I've done that for years. I'm going to show you one more way of an overview of the book that's a good way to divide it, okay? In the next, it might help to understand, four times in the book of Revelation, God places John in a certain place to view certain events. So every time God moves John, it's four times. For instance, if you're there, the first vision God gives John is in chapter 1, and look at verse 10 in chapter 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, and then the vision of Jesus. So the first time God shows John something for the book of Revelation is chapter 1, verse 10, and that's going to go all the way. This vision lasts from chapter 1, verse 10, all the way to the end of chapter 3. So God shows the Apostle Paul in the first vision the church age. You say, why is it the church age? Because once the rapture happens, the word church isn't mentioned anymore in the book of Revelation. It is not mentioned until chapter 19. So that's another reason we know that church is not going through the tribulation. But here's the first vision. Then, go to chapter 4, verse 1. Watch this. I'll just show you these real quick. Chapter 4. It says here, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So there's the second time God shows John, takes him to a place, and now is going to show him a different section of what's happening in the book of Revelation. If I took that chapter 4, verse 1, the next time God shows John something is in chapter 17. So you have the tribulation period is shown to him from chapter 4 to chapter 17. In chapter 17, go ahead and turn there because we're looking at him. Look at chapter 17 and verse 3 and watch this. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. So he's in a different place, right? And God is showing him the destruction of the world powers and the religious and political system of the Antichrist at the end. And this vision is going to include the millennium. You want to see how small the millennium is? Look at chapter 20. Ready? All of this is included here. Look at chapter 20. Look at verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Do you know where the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus is in the book of Revelation? In between verse 6 and 7. Isn't that amazing? Now, why are you saying that? Because this vision here includes the destruction of the political and religious system of the Antichrist, the millennium, the battle of revolt, the explosion of the universe and the earth, the great white throne judgment, and then when you get to chapter 21, the last vision is what? Go ahead and go to chapter 21 and look at verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. The last vision goes from chapter 21, verse 9, to the end of the book. And that would be the New Jerusalem, the temple, and the perfect age of 1,000 generations, and then the new heaven and new earth are carried over into eternity. All right? So, if you want, you can divide the book of Revelation into three. Okay? Here, let's go back here. You can divide it into three sections based on Revelation 1:19, or you can break it down into four sections based on the views, the visions that God gave him. Either way, I don't think nothing is wrong. I'm just trying to give you a way of thinking about the book. You say, why is this important? In the book of Revelation, there are four times. They call them parenthetical visions. That means I'm going to tell you a story, but boop, let's take you up to heaven. And four times, okay, four times, chapter 5, chapter 11, chapter 15, and chapter 16, God takes you to heaven and shows you what's going on in heaven while the Antichrist is wreaking havoc on the earth. Okay? The reason this is important, and I'll show you the bottom of the screen here in just a second. There's so much stupid teaching on the internet. People go, well, I was reading Revelation, and all of a sudden we're in heaven rejoicing about the coming. And so this must be the coming here in chapter 5. Chapter 19 is the second coming of the Lord, you ding-dong. What do you mean? And then you start getting into the false teachings of, well, I heard one person say, every time they went to heaven, chapter 5, chapter 11, then they start over again. I was like, you internet people, there's no hope for you. Do you understand? There's no hope. I'll show you in just a minute what God intended the book of Revelation to be taught to. All right? But it's important for you to know as you move through the second coming of the Lord, when we come down with Jesus, it's the greatest event in the Bible. So at four times, as God tells us the story, he's going to go, you'll see heaven going, it's getting ready. It's getting ready to happen. He's coming. We're getting ready to go. He's going to lift the curse. It's going to be great. He's going to rule. So the anticipation is there. But no, the book of Revelation doesn't start over four times just because you get a view of heaven. Okay, so I'm hoping to help you as you read it. There's four parenthetical visions. Then one more thing. In Revelation 4:1, it says, after this. Then in chapter 7, it says, and after these things. Then in chapter 7:9, it says, after this. And then it says, after these things, two more. The book of Revelation is pretty much a chronological book. It's not, well, I just get confused when I read it. Events happen one after another. It is not left to you to figure out what happened. Just follow the book. Here's been my frustration. When I find out a Christian doesn't want to read the book of Revelation because they're scared, that's why I told you, Mark chapter 4 is the rapture. That means everything that takes place on the earth, we won't be here for. Daniel and Revelation go together. Daniel is going to stress the first part of the tribulation. The book of Revelation covers both, but it stresses the last period, the 1260 days or 3.5 years, however you want to view it. Can I tell you something? When you read the first verse, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole purpose of the book is to show you the Lamb. And there should be nothing in the book of Revelation that scares you. If we're not going to be here, if we're going to be in heaven when hell breaks loose, literally, hell is opened up and the demons are released, shouldn't that make you thankful that that's all we're going to miss? Amen? Look what all God saved us from. That's why it's supposed to be one of the most beautiful books in the New Testament. But when you find Christians, oh, that book is scary. I mean, are you saved? You should want to see Jesus. Somebody told me this a long time ago in the Marine Corps. They said, you know, if you'd quit worrying about the visions and the everything and whatever, just look at to read the purpose of the book. Just look at to learn about the Lamb of God. Look at, let Jesus reveal himself to you. Just read it that way. And quit worrying about all the, just read it to see Jesus. And you'll find it's one of the most beautiful books in the Bible. Now, it is chronological. I've showed you the places here. Now, I think we can start, okay? So, and let's go to Revelation chapter 1, and let's look at verse 1. Okay, ready? So, as you read it, here we go. Revelation chapter 1, and look at verse 1. First thing you have to conclude when we come to the Bible is, I'm not interested in correcting the Bible. And everybody knows there's a book a month that comes out on the book of Revelation. So if you're programmed by the internet, I don't know what to tell you other than you're going to stay confused. You need to get off the internet. If you don't know who you're reading, are they a soul winner? Do they use the King James Bible? If we don't correct the Bible, we don't adjust. Most books you read from old preachers are going to say, well, I'm talking from before World War II. A lot of the books will say, well, that verse needs to be interpreted this way or translated this way. We don't correct the Bible. We take the Bible at God's Word. And that's all I want to do. I don't want to, okay, doesn't it say in 1 Peter, the Scripture is of no private interpretation? You know what's wrong with all the books of Revelation that have made it specific to their time? Well, that verse right there is referring to President Nixon. Now that verse refers to President Obama. Now, that, do you realize what happens? The Bible's timeless, right? It's always right. If you make the Bible specific to America's not in the Bible. See, there's China. See, there's Russia. Russia and America are not in the Bible. They're not there. The words aren't there. China is not in the Bible. When you put things in the Bible and you make it specific to you, you make the rest of it irrelevant. Because now every time you come across that word, you know, if the beast is a computer and the mark of the beast is a credit card or a UPC symbol or a vaccine, who knows? You now make it of a private interpretation, and you cause a lot of confusion. There are some things we can kind of see some things forming, but and I'll show you what I think the Bible says they are, but I don't want to make it specific to 2021, to where in 10 years, if Jesus tarries, we'll go, you know, I thought it was this, now it's this. That's a private interpretation. That's goofy. Second of all, As we read this, watch this. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's something very unique. If you have a King James Bible, the word revelation is capitalized. In English, perfect English, you don't capitalize a word unless it's a title. Right? That's why we call the book of Revelation the revelation, because that's the title God gave it. Now, most Bibles have, up at the top, the revelation of St. John the Divine. How many have that? Okay, let me ask this. How many don't have that? Okay. If you don't, praise the Lord. Mine has it. Isn't it amazing? Less than, I don't know how far verse 1 is from the title in your Bible, but they can't read the revelation of Jesus Christ is the title of the book, but yet they call it the revelation of St. John the Divine. Do you know why they do that? Because that's their teaching. That's the speculation that, well, you know, God gave it to John, and John wrote the book. John didn't write the book of Revelation. God wrote it. And when you read the verse, notice the order. Watch this. Look at the verse. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Okay, just ponder that just for a second. So God gave this book to Jesus Christ. Isn't that what it says? These words were given by God to Jesus Christ. Notice the next order. It says, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent he. Okay, you notice we're still in the same sentence in verse 1, right? So who's he referring to? This would be Jesus Christ, right? God gave this to Jesus Christ, and he sent and signified it by his angel, so now an angel, right? Unto his servant John. So it goes God, Jesus, angel, John, and then who's the last one? It says here, I think it's the last one is in the start of verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. I don't know how you can read verse 1 and come up with a title, the revelation of St. John the Divine, when God plainly tells you what it is. And the only reason you would do that is because your philosophy about the Bible is that, well, these are the words of John. They're either the words of John or they're the words of God. God used John to pen his words like you use a computer. So when you write a report on a computer, did the computer write the report or did you write it? You wrote it, right? Same thing. God used John to pen his word that always was in heaven. Right? It always has been. So, that's important. We'll pull that from it. Here we go. Watch this. Keep on going. It says here, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation. Let's think about that for a second. If you reveal something, you could be uncovering something that was always there, right? If you reveal something, you didn't make it, you just showed it. The purpose of the book is to show you. That tells me this. There's nothing hidden in the book of Revelation. There's no hidden signs. There's nothing, ooh, what does that mean? The purpose of the book is to reveal and open to you who Jesus is. In the book of John and in the book of Revelation, it's amazing. God is used only John to refer to Jesus as the Lamb. John 1:29, what John the Baptist preached? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Then Revelation chapter 5, and 27 times after that in one book, Jesus is referred to as the Lamb. The Lamb. The book of Revelation is meant to show you. That's why when people go, ooh, what does that mean? Oh, what? There's some study involved. But the purpose of the book is not to show you hidden meanings. The purpose of the book is to show you Jesus. And if you would read the book that way, you would get so much more out of it. It'd speak to your heart, and it becomes a sweet book instead of a spooky book. Okay? Next, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Okay? If you underline the words, his servants, this is where I'm going to get controversial, but I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be nasty. The book of Revelation was not written for lost people. Every time a lost man reads that book, you end up with a new cult. Watch this. It says his servants. It does not say unto his saints. Saints are saved people, right? The book of Revelation isn't for saved people. It's for his servants. People that are going to church. People that are winning souls. People that are serving the Lord. Not people on the internet who sit at their computer in blogs and chat rooms arguing with people about their, how they, you know, I want to ask some of those. And I don't read the junk. But it's like, sir, do you go to church? Who's your pastor? No wonder you're off in la la land. The book of Revelation was not intended for internet feeders. It was meant for people who serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and you only can serve him through the local New Testament church. That's very important. If you used who God wrote the book to, it would cut out most of who you would read. There's some out there. There's some good tea. I'll show you what I read. Arnold C. Gabelin, one of the writers of the Scofield Bible. You know, one of the reference dudes. Okay, one of Scofield's friends. Old guys. Good guys. And I don't like everything they say. And they're in heaven and they know I'm right now. So that's all right. That's a funny one. Okay, that was a joke. I wish you'd have heard that. But I'm very careful who I read. I don't want to read about the book of Revelation what some non-servant rebel got out of the book. I want to read what a servant of God, because God says, I'll teach you the book if you serve me. And you only serve him through the church. Watch this. Keep on going. Here we go. It helps us kind of filter through. It says here, unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. Okay, shortly. We think of shortly as a short time, but keep in mind, God doesn't dwell in time, right? 2 Peter chapter 3, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Things which must shortly come to pass. He said, behold, I come quickly, right? At the end of the book, he didn't say, I come soon. He said, I come quickly. 2,000 years since Jesus was here. By the Lord's timetable that he gives us, it's only been 2 days. Right? That's kind of a deep thought, isn't it? So things which must shortly come to pass, it doesn't mean, it means we're waiting for the rapture, we're waiting for the next thing to take place, but things which must shortly come to pass, then, let's keep on reading here, all right? And he sent and signified it. Okay. Let's dive into this just for a little bit. Signified. S-I-G-N is the word sign, right? He signified or signified it. Signs, miracles, and wonders are how God spake to the Jews in Israel in the Old Testament, right? Okay? So he signified it because there's one other clue here that tells you that the book is primarily to the Jews who are here on the earth while we're up in heaven. One more word, ready? It says, and signified it by his angel. Okay, listen closely. Angel. Angels were God's medium for communicating with Israel in the Old Testament, right? I can take you to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Where God spake unto us by his Son, and then Hebrews chapter 2:2, where God spoke his word through angels. So it's kind of like the same thing, right? So what God do to Daniel? Sent Gabriel. I've been sent to give you the answers to your prayers and to show you. Now write down what I give you. So God used angels to give messages or write his word through the Jews in the Old Testament. All right? With that in mind, unto by his angel unto his servant John. As a matter of fact, just to drive that home, can you keep your finger there? Go to Acts chapter 7. Go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, we'll come right back to Revelation. Look at verse 53 in Acts chapter 7. When Stephen is preaching, he says here, Acts chapter 7, verse 53, who have received the law by what? The disposition of angels and have not kept it. So he said, Israel received the law through God's messengers, the angels. God spoke through the angels. Okay, so I'm not off on la-la land. Go back to Revelation chapter 1. Okay? Next, who bear unto his servant John, there's that word servant again, who bear record of, here we go. Notice, the sentence has not ended yet. We've not come to a period. Remember I told you read your Bible and notice where the periods are? Notice the full sentence. Okay, so you can kind of put things together. It says here, who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So the purpose of the book, God says, I want to show you who Jesus is. And in so doing, the first thing you'll learn is that the Bible is the Word of God. This isn't, well, you know, most of it's correct, but you know, John didn't know what we know now. So the kooky ways people read their Bibles, this is the Word of God, 1 John chapter 5. This is the record that God has given to us of His Son. If you don't believe the record, you make God a liar. This is the record. God says, you're going to see the beauty of the Word of God. Then you're going to see the testimony of Jesus. You say, where's that? Okay, keep your finger there. Go to chapter 19, verse 10. Go to Revelation 19. Here we go. Revelation 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. One thing you learn about Jesus, you say, how? I don't understand. If you learn about the testimony of Jesus, that's the spirit of prophecy. When Jesus saved you, the first thing he pointed you to was eternal life in the future. Isn't that prophecy? It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. Then everything that's in between, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of looking at all that he's going to give. You ever heard that song? I've read the back of the book and we win. No more living in darkness, we'll be living at home with him. There's no need to worry about it if you're born again. I've read the back of the book and we win. This testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Look at what he's promised. It begins with eternal life, but there's so much more. Wow, the world to come. Amen. Now, go back to verse 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw, of which is in reference to John there. Now, let me see here. Let's close with chapter 1, verse 3. Ready? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. This is the only book of the Bible that says, now we know if you read any part of the Bible, you're blessed, right? I can apply this to the whole Bible and not be out of bounds. But this is the only book of the Bible that says, if you'll just read it. Isn't it wonderful that it doesn't say, blessed is he that understands everything that this book is talking about? It doesn't say, blessed are you if you understand it. It says, if you'll read it, you'll be blessed. You say, how? Number one, you'll see Jesus. Number two, when you're reading about the vials and the seals and the thunders and the judgments, that God's going to reign on the ungodly, wouldn't that make you praise God on all that he saved you from? Wouldn't that encourage you to tell people to get saved? You don't want to be left behind. It'll be too late. Blessed is he that readeth. And then notice, if you read this book, it brings a special blessing with it, encouragement. And then notice the words of the next phrase. I love this. And they that hear the words of this prophecy. I have the word prophecy underlined in my Bible because in the Old Testament, you have major prophets and minor prophets, right? 17 books of prophecy, all right? In the New Testament, there is one book that is the prophetic book of all 27, and it is the book of Revelation. There's prophecy pieces all through the New Testament, but there's only one book in the New Testament that is all prophecy by God's declaration, right? The words of this prophecy. I was talking with somebody and they got upset because I'll show you about the churches there. But they're like, oh, that's not prophecy about the church. There's seven different types of churches. And I said, all seven churches, we'll get into this, don't make God happy. There's only one church that God approves of. Church was God's idea. And it's to be done God's way. And there's a few churches God got angry at and said, you're dead while you live. There was another church that God said, you make me want to vomit. That type of Christianity. So yeah, there's seven churches, but all seven don't make God happy. There's only two that don't get corrected. Smyrna and Philadelphia. So take note, and somebody said, well, you think we're living in the Laodicean age, and yeah, I do. But I don't think we're a Laodicean church. You read the traits. I want to be a Philadelphian church, church of brotherly love, right? One that goes soul winning, one that has an open door, one that does what God tells it to do, one that preaches the book, right? Doesn't correct the book. So you have one book in the New Testament that is the book of prophecy. And that means to apply it to the future events after John is not wrong. You're going to see me do that through the churches, and we'll look at all seven churches. And I think it gives you a real insight into our day. But it's amazing all that it covers. One more thing here. It says, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There's another statement, which shall shortly come to pass. He didn't say, I'm coming soon. He said, I come quickly. And it's at hand. What's God waiting on? If we went to Romans chapter 11, we'd find the time of the Gentiles is going to be fulfilled. Somebody's going to lead the last soul to Christ. I got to go soul winning last night, and somebody invited me to Upper Marlboro. He said, would you witness to my parents? And the mom was 74 years old, and I got to witness to her. She was bedridden. And it was very sweet, and she got saved, and I went to witness to the dad, and I let him talk for a long time, and tried to get to know him, and when I said, well, has anybody ever taken the Bible and shown you how to get your sins forgiven so you can go to heaven? He was so happy until I mentioned that, and then all of a sudden he just goes, bye, and walked back to his room. My heart went out. I thought, how sad, he's 83, that close to death. Alert mind, but he knows he can't live forever. Why wouldn't you prepare for death being that close? So sad. I left there thinking about it, thanking the Lord for the privilege, but Romans 11 says somebody's going to get to lead the last soul to Christ. Can you imagine? Showing them everyone's a sinner, there's a price on sin, Jesus paid that price, now would you like to place your faith in him as he said, and Lord, thank you for, please save me, then we're out of here. Somebody's going to lead the last soul to Christ, and then we're all going home. The book of Revelation, if you'll just read it, why God gave it. I want to show you Jesus Christ, and you're going to find out he's the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. And isn't it wonderful when you're reading in the book of Revelation? We'll close with this. I know I said verse 3, but watch this. Well, look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The first song that you sing in the book of Revelation is, I think that's what we're going to do in heaven. It's going to be one of the things. Unto him that loved me and washed me in his own blood and made me a king and a priest. What a God. And if you'll just read the book of Revelation with that in mind, it becomes such a beautiful book. Not, ooh, what's that and that. Quit, get out of the spooky stuff. Honestly, it's meant to reveal. Nothing is hidden in this book. We can take it at face value. I hope this is a blessing to you, and I'm looking forward to the journey. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your salvation. And Lord, you want us to show us all that you have planned for us.